This weekend, Father Michael and I are beginning a five-week Lenten preaching series entitled, What God Wants for You. But before I start talking about what God wants for you, let's talk about what God doesn't want. I don't believe there'd be too many people among us or otherwise whose jaws didn't drop, whose hearts didn't sink when on Ash Wednesday we heard of the shooting at the high school in Florida. A 19-year-old former student went in and gunned down 17 students at his former school and some faculty. And we stand back and we ask ourselves, what would possess someone to engage in such an extreme and violent act? What's equally disturbing is that when people were interviewed, students at the school, people who knew him, no one seemed to be surprised, because they described him as being kind of an outsider, one who didn't fit in, one who was socially awkward, a young man that had his problems. Now, certainly, not everybody responds in such a way, and it's not my intention today to give a homily about politics or even all of the solutions. But one thing that's really certain is, as you listen to that narrative, here was an individual whose life was colored by a sense of isolation, of not belonging, of somehow being separated and on the outside. Again, his response is nothing that we could ever justify or explain away. But all too often, we find that happening within our culture, within our society, and these extreme acts of violence are becoming all too normative, aren't they? And yet, sometimes when you hear people speak of Satan, the devil, or evil, there's that temptation to relegate them to the pages of mythology. That they're not real, they're ideas. And yet we have proof positive in an act like that and others that indeed evil, sadly, is alive and well. But that's not the end of the story. What God doesn't want for us is isolation. Jesus, I believe, shows us what God wants for us. Now, you read Mark's gospel, he's scant on details. As a matter of fact, within the first chapter of Mark, you've got Jesus being born, baptized, driven by the Spirit into the devil, and beginning his public ministry, all in about 45 verses. We rely on other gospel writers to fill in the details, but we do know that there is a reason that we refer to Satan not just as Prince of Darkness, but Father of Lies. What were the temptations that Jesus engaged in? What did he have to be subjected to during his time in the desert? Turn these stones into bread. You're hungry. Be self-sufficient. Bow down and worship me, and I will give you all these kingdoms of the world. You'll have power, control. Go out to the parapet of the temple. Cast yourself down. God's angels will catch you, and everyone will know that you're the Son of God. No need to suffer. No need to die. What were the temptations? A bunch of lies. And when we allow those lies to be the tape that is being recorded and being repeated in our heads, when we are told or tell ourselves that we don't belong, that we're outsiders, that we're not loved, that we're not good enough. You're darn right you're going to feel isolated, distant, disengaged, and disconnected. But that's not what God wants for us. God, by God's very nature, is about relationship. The Holy Trinity itself is an image of relationship between Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And God wants nothing more, Jesus Christ wants nothing more than to be in a relationship with you in a personal way. How was Jesus able to fend off the lies, the temptations? It's because he knew he wasn't isolated. He knew he wasn't alone. He didn't just know about his Heavenly Father. He knew his Heavenly Father. He was in relationship with his Heavenly Father. And those 40 days he was immersed in prayer, in conversation with his Heavenly Father. I was at a conference this week, and one of the speakers threw out some statistics. They weren't totally foreign to me, but there was one survey that was done among people of various religions, and the question was, how central, how important to your faith is spreading your faith? Evangelization. Anybody want to venture to guess which denomination had the lowest? Catholics. Take it a step farther. What percentage of those surveys said that sharing their faith was important or central to their faith as Catholics? Give me a number. 15%, you're being generous. 10%, you're being generous. No, 2%, it's not that bad. We're not hopeless. 6%. Now, just to frame this a little bit, if 6% of the human race thought it totally unimportant to not have children, where would the human race be in a matter of years? In a matter of generations? Gone, dwindled, certainly outnumbered. And yet, what did Jesus tell his disciples? Well, we know God told our first parents, be fruitful, multiply. Jesus told his disciples the same thing on a spiritual level. Go, make disciples. Don't hold it in. Don't keep it like it's a personal possession that no one's supposed to see. And yet, I think we rely on that misquote of St. Francis, something he never said. You ever hear this one? Preach the gospel always. Sometimes use words. What a bunch of bull. If you meet the love of your life, the man, the woman that just steals your heart, tell me that you don't tell someone about it. Tell me that you hold that in as the closest secret to your heart. Tell me something great and spectacular happens to you that you don't have the urge that you want to share it, that you want to proclaim it, maybe even brag about it just a little. Of course we use words. Scripture tells us to always be ready to give testimony to our hope, to why it is that we have this joy. Because Jesus Christ wants to be in relationship with you, that he loves you, that he gave his life for you. What's the core of the gospel? Sum it up in two words. Jesus saves. Well, he must have saved us from something, huh? He saved us from sin. He saved us from evil. He saves us from ourselves. And he did it by his suffering. By his stripes, we were healed. And we belong. But so often we buy into the lie, don't we? I don't belong. I'm an outsider because. Fill in the blank. because I'm not holy enough. I'm not religious enough. I'm not old enough. I'm not young enough. I'm divorced. I'm a sinner. I'm disabled. I'm gay. Fill in the line. We can go out with all excuses. But that's none of them are biblical. Jesus gave his life for all. We all belong. On Ash Wednesday evening, Father Michael went with a group of young adults down to Baltimore's Inner Harbor. And they reached out and started conversations with people living on the street. Took them to get them a meal. I teased him. I said, "What did you buy them?" He says, "Chick-fil-A." On Ash Wednesday? Of course. Fine. Let them have their chicken. There's bigger things. There's bigger fish to fry here. Okay? They ask them, "Where are you from?" And our young adults said, "Anne Arundel County," some of them farther, "Severna Park, Annapolis area." You know how they responded? "You came all the way down here to talk to me? Why?" They said, "Because we believe God loves you. You give voice to it. Not because we wanted to do something nice, not because we wanted to feel good about ourselves, because God loves you. You belong." And yet, how many do you think played that tape in their mind that their lives were messed up, that they were living on the street, that they didn't belong, that they weren't loved, that they weren't valued? That same workshop I was at this week, most of whom in participating were lay people. "Please forgive me, I do not intend to offend right now." But the priest who was giving one of the talks gave another statistic. He said, "Catholics were surveyed, and what do you think were one of the biggest gripes that Catholics had about their worship experience? And what do you think were in the top three?" "Homilies. They're too boring. They're irrelevant. They're too long." And I said, "Thank God we don't have that problem at our parish." But here's how he responded. He looked at everybody in the room, most of whom were not wearing collars, and he said, "Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you gave a homily? When was the last time you preached the Word of God? Because God's Word is not meant to be confined to altars and pulpits and churches. God's Word is meant to be contagious, taken outside, given voice to, in action and in word." Anybody going to see anybody this coming week? Can you find one person that you can share God's love with and give a word to it, a voice to it? My gosh, you don't know some of the beautiful things that I witnessed in this parish. A couple of weeks ago, I had finished celebrating Mass and I was greeting people out in the gathering space. Now, out of the corner of my eye, I saw a person that looked like they were having a really, really bad day. They were engaging in conversation with a couple of other people. And I didn't impose myself. I continued to greet people, but out of the corner of my eye, I saw the person shedding some tears. And it would seem like maybe less than a minute later, she was surrounded by those that she was talking with. They placed their hands on her, and they were praying with her. She belonged. She wasn't an outsider. Whatever her baggage was, whatever the issue was, who knows? And it doesn't matter. She knew she wasn't alone and isolated at that moment. You see, sometimes we have to get out of our comfort zones to be able to give a little comfort, don't we? It's one thing for you or I to say, yeah, I'll pray for you. I'll write it down. It's on my list. Hopefully I'll remember. What's your name again? It's another thing to say, let's pray now. And whether I remember your name or not, it's highly irrelevant. But together we come before Jesus and we bring whatever it is that needs to be brought before the Lord and give it into His hands. You know, had another conversation this week I was part of. This has been a busy week, by the way. It was a mother telling me that her daughter was struggling whether she was ready to be confirmed or not. And it wasn't like, yeah, I don't believe in God, or it wasn't that kind of narrative. It was like, I don't know if I'm ready for the responsibility that comes with being confirmed. What a great question to struggle with, to wrestle with, huh? For a teenager, for any of us. Well, within that same conversation, my mom's telling me how her daughter has been talking to some of her high school classmates about Alpha and trying to get them to come to Alpha. I said, is she ready to be confirmed? She's ready to teach the class. She's already at least one of the 6%. She gets it. We have to ask ourselves, what's holding us back? You see, to have a relationship with Jesus Christ does demand a little bit more than going through the motions. We can't just say our prayers. We need to pray. We can't just go to Mass. We have to have expectant hearts and minds that are open to know that God does want to talk to us. With all due respect to the person who was on TV this week saying anyone who believes they hear Jesus speaking must have a mental illness. That's not a mental illness. That should be normative Christianity. I'm not talking about hearing audible voices, but Jesus does speak. I'll give you an example. When you come to Mass, are you ready to hear Him speak to you personally? Bring in a little notepad. Or take your phone, and if you hear a word, a phrase, a concept, an idea, in a prayer, in the homily, in a song, in something that someone else says just off the cuff, for goodness sake, write it down. Put it on a little post-it note and stick it on the mirror in your bathroom. And every day this week, read it. That's God's word for you for the week until the next time you come. When you're praying and reading scripture and you see something jump up at you, or you feel an urge or you get an insight, write it down and keep going back to it. God wants to speak to you. You're not mentally ill. God's reaching out. Because why? God wants you in relationship. You belong to Him. You're part of Him. Everything He did for you. So I'll repeat it, and I think it bears repeating. This Lent, forget giving up stuff. Do something that's going to draw you closer to Jesus. Because God wants you in relationship. Amen.